That's the wrong thing. There we go.
Welcome to the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Show. Rob Sanders.
I don't care. I don't care. My jokes don't go over. I don't care.
Comrade Mike Dobreski. And Kale Hall.
This is stupid. Making noises on the show. You're like a crazy person. Why do you do this to your father and I?
The Rob, Comrade, and Kale Podcast.
And welcome in to the latest edition of the Rob, Comrade, and Kale Podcast. It's great to have you there with us this evening. We have a great show planned for you. We're going to give you our weekend picks. Quick shout out to the folks down in Louisiana who are getting hit by another hurricane. We're at Z in the freaking alphabet right now. I'm ready for hurricane season to be over. It's just sad. Sad across the board. Anyway, shout out to those people down there. We've gotten some messages from some folks saying they're going to tune in tonight, and they're going to be watching the show on their phones because they have no power. So tonight we do this show. Hopefully we can entertain you a little bit. I have got two co-hosts. One of them is doing the Jacksonville Daytona Beach set of shows for Florida Championship Wrestling this evening. Down there working for the American Dream, Dusty Rhodes, he is Kale Hall. Kale, what's up, brother?
Live and living color, baby. Coming to you from the 13th floor. Can't nothing slow me down, baby. Except for maybe that traffic jam up on I-95 on Sunday evening. Normally, I'd be here with you.
Well, when the police see you on I-95, they part the ways like the sea with Moses and make sure that you can get down there for your show.
They parted the sea, baby, but my chariot made of fire and horses. The fire just burned out. Before the show Sunday night, baby, and I just couldn't make it. So y'all had to go at it as a duo instead of a trio. But
it was live and back in effect
once again.
It was a classic version of the Robin Comrade and Kale Show without Kale. But I have to ask you, sir, when you put on that helmet as the Midnight Rider, why is it that your horse could not get your fat ass back up on the ramp? I've always wanted to ask you that.
Well, you see, baby, I went to lunch twice that day, and that old horse fat would give out.
That horse was a damn nag. That's what's wrong with that horse. That horse was poisoned. It was poisoned by the damn four horsemen. They sent him some damn bad oats. That's what happened there.
The Midnight Express and Jimmy Cornette.
Exactly. Great to have you back with us this evening, Jackpot. Also with the show, the guy, I told him he looked like he was wearing a ferret with AIDS on his head. Now he goes and gets a haircut where he looks like he's got the clap. Please welcome in the Russian, the comrade, Mike Dobreski. Mike, good evening, sir.
It's good to be here. I had to get the haircut. This is how I normally look, by the way. This is for people who are new to the show the last few weeks. This is a pre-COVID look. I always get the head shaved. I just didn't feel like going to a barber shop, you know, call me whatever, too scared, or you know, I just didn't feel like having people breathing on me. And finally, I said, you know what? I'm going to take a little risky. I'm going to mask up and get it done. So I feel much better right now. And plus, when you go 3-13 the last 2 weeks in your picks, you can't show up on Wednesday with the same haircut. You gotta shave it and renew it. And I feel renewed right now, for this week.
Yeah. I mean, you can't do any worse.
I feel great, you know, because we're playing a football game this weekend that will not be coached by Will Muschamp. So
that's true.
Hey, everything that's wonderful.
Damn it, Kale. Anyway, yeah, so we got a lot of stuff to get into this evening. I want to thank our sponsors. Of course, the sponsors of the podcast, we appreciate them. They include Callaway's Bar and Grill out in West Columbia, Highway 1 Diagonal from the Walmart. Yeah, there are some good folks out there. Get yourself some good food, some ice cold beer, good people at Callaway's Retro Video Games. Old school stuff you can find there, in addition to the only Golden Tee Lounge that I've ever seen. All at Callaway's Bar and Grill. Callaway'sBarAndGrill.com. We also have, of course, renewed. We learned on Sunday night that this was renewed. Yes. Or was it Wednesday? I can't remember. But either way, DNC Trucking and Transport is signing up
that
for another
last
year.
Wednesday.
Yeah, last Wednesday. There you go. Signing up for another year of ads. I am picking up our check from Dennis Wilson. He is happy as a lark that he's going to support the show. Comrade, you should check your email. You've got a nice script there set up for you. Comrade, please read away.
Oh, there it is. I didn't think it was going to be there. Okay. We pull up here. All right. It sucks big, Gamecock. I am so happy that we have another year of this wonderful segment. I hope Dennis sends me another nude pic of his luscious ass for Christmas. It is a real holiday treat. Betty Wilson despises me, and when little Dennis smells like country ham. It sucks to be a Gamecock. Go Tigers.
That message courtesy of Dennis Wilson, DNC Trucking and Transport. We appreciate Dennis for the stuff that he does for the show. By the way, I pulled something before we get into our picks. I wanted to play a little bit of this, and let's see if I can get this up and moving here. This is from the Mazodcast. I don't know if Kale's heard the latest version of the Mazodcast. He's been trying to bake on the beach here lately. You have. Well, I pulled this from
baking on the beach yesterday.
Yeah. Well, I pulled this this clip from the Mazodcast. This is what SEC other fans outside of the Columbia bubble think of South Carolina and Will Muschamp. Just a little 27-second clip here from our friends at the Mazodcast.
Well, you know what I love is because I know this is happening. I know it is. I know that the Will Muschamps of the world are sitting in coaches' rooms right now watching tape going, motherfucker.
Yeah, you know I thought that was a free win.
Yeah, that guy is good. You know, like, they're good. Like, that guy's better than me. Fuck. I know that's happening. I mean, maybe they won't articulate that out loud in the room with the other coaches, but in the back of their head, they're like, shit, Mizzou's going to fucking kick a hole in us.
I think the guys like Will Muschamp are looking at the tape, and they're seeing plays, and they're like, I see what that guy's doing.
Exactly. That's what other fan bases think of you. Just wanted to throw that out there as we start the show, because we're not going to have a lot of Gamecock talk tonight.
Well, to be fair, Will Muschamp's already got his ass kicked by that coach one time.
Yeah. I mean, he did it with a team from the Sun Belt, so just saying.
And that, so, you know, didn't I tell you before the season started, everybody just listened to me and they were like, they don't know what he's talking about. And I would talk about Missouri, and I told everybody, I said, I think they're better than people were giving them credit for. They were just putting them right down at the bottom of the SEC East, right there with Vanderbilt. For what reason other than they were changing out quarterbacks and had a new head coach? I knew they were going to be better than what people were giving them credit for, and proved to be right.
Let's put you on the spot
right
then, Cale.
Once in a while.
Do you think that they can beat South Carolina? Put you on the spot. You think they're going to be better or not? You think they can beat the Gamecocks?
Can they?
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Look at Comrade. Comrade's over there looking for a hole to piss in. He's so mad.
You said, can they?
Can they?
I'm ignoring this.
I don't know. Can they? Yeah, they're totally taking them. Totally.
We may go over the FPI numbers for South Carolina before the evening's out. So I want to share some of those because those are interesting as the season has gone along. But let's get to our picks. Lewis Bolin checking in on the show this evening. Lewis Bolin is what I call a plank owner. Do you know what that is, gentlemen? It's back in the old days, a plank owner. You know what that is? So back in the old days when you started something, the first people that came and were a part of it were considered to be plank owners. Lewis Bolin is a plank owner on this show. Back when Comrade and I were trying to figure out his lisp and get him to a point where he could actually talk with people, Lewis was listening to us and supported us. So Lewis always has a special place in my heart. Same thing goes for Lisa Harkins, who loves her some Comrade. I'm dead serious. She loves the Comrade.
And plus, Lewis is a Red Sox fan, and he gives great gifts. My birthday last year. Yeah. My birthday is always right around the Clemson week, and this year it's a bit different with the COVID and our little party we have or our live show. But Lewis last year gave me a Jim Rice baseball card. So always hook me up with Red Sox stuff. So I still have it sitting over here. My memorabilia. So Lewis always the good people.
Well,
he was a big deal in Anderson, South Carolina.
That's right.
Exactly.
And Jim Rice was my first favorite Red Sox player. And I was living up in New York. I had no idea where he was from. And it just so happened as I came down here, you realize that he's probably the second greatest player out of the state, baseball player. I mean, Shoeless Joe Jackson's probably first.
Yep.
Jim Rice second. I mean,
Not too much, knows,
you know.
There.
And the fact that he probably would have went to Clemson though, if he went to college,
yeah.
If he wasn't so good and got drafted, you know, being up there in Anderson, he probably was a Clemson boy. I never asked him that question. I actually met him one time, and I forgot to ask him that question if he is a Tater at heart. But I'm not sure.
Yeah.
I wonder if he's from T.L. Hanna.
Yeah, he went to what's the school that radio's in? Radio.
That's T.L. Hanna.
Yeah, that's where he went. He went there. And I think he was there.
I didn't know if he was there before segregation.
No, he was there right at. I think when they just had integrated,
mm-hmm.
and I think he went there, and he was one of the only black players, students there. I think. I remember reading about that. It was kind of a cool. Yeah. So he was right in that time, but he got drafted pretty high, and then didn't go to college. Obviously, he went right to out of high school to the Red Sox.
Well, and by the way, we love Lewis and the fact that he supports the show, but fuck Lewis's teams though. Every damn one of them can suck an asshole, except the Washington football team, who won over the Dallas Cowboys. A win over the Dallas Cowboys is a win for America. They beat the Dallas Cowboys. They don't even have a damn team name, but they went out there and stomped some cowboy ass.
25-3 or something?
Yeah, 25-3. They went out there and I think it was freaking Alex Smith who's still dragging his leg after it got turned into 8 question marks on one play. They went out there and stomped some ass. So there you go. There's some good things there. Anyway, let's look into our picks for this weekend. I'll give you some of the standings here. Leading the way, Jeremy McClure with 34. Dennis Wilson at 34. Show sponsor, we appreciate him. Ben Simmons at 32. I'm right there behind them, 3 picks back, along with Big Dick Dulay. Comrades had a shitty 2 weeks. He's at 29. He ran his mouth about, nobody can talk shit to me until they're ahead of me. Guess what, Comrade? I'm ahead of you. Fuck you and your picks. There you go. So
I had to go 3-13 for you to pass me. I had to go 3-13.
Shut up.
Before you get passed.
Shut up. I passed you. Shut up.
That's how far back you were.
Shut up.
Fuck him. I don't ever want to see the motherfucker again.
Be nice, Virtual Kale. We need to be nice to the Comrade. He's in a bad spot right now. I mean,
y'all need to teach him some manners. Jesus Christ.
I'm going to
totally out of control.
He's not out of control. There's nothing wrong with Virtual Kale.
He's out of control. You need to take him back to the shop again and get your money back and tell him to fix him right this time. Good Lord.
You sorry motherfucker!
Well, maybe, you know, maybe not.
Oh, man. Virtual Kale, are you okay?
Yeah, and I said something on here I didn't mean to.
See, he's apologetic, Kale. You know, before this show's over, you're going to apologize to Virtual Kale, or I might drive to Daytona and we might fight. I'm just saying. You're not going to be rude to Virtual Kale. We're not going to have it. Just saying. Anyway. All right. Kale doesn't like arguing with himself. The Virtual Kale bit, by the way, I don't care, is freaking hilarious. Anyway. Let's look at our picks here. If you're watching on the screen here, you should be able to make that full screen so you can see it. Okay, here we go. First pick is Texas at Oklahoma State. Kale, we're going to let you pick first this week. Which way are you rolling? Oklahoma State -4. Are you taking Texas and the Longhorns?
Minus four. That's a tough one. Oklahoma State's been playing really well this year. Their defense is really good, especially their pass defense. They are currently undefeated, correct?
Yes.
Yes.
Yeah. Look, this is 2020, and everybody's talked about it. If you're good, you're not good. If you're not any good, you're good. I don't think Oklahoma State's going to go undefeated. Texas won last week. They showed some signs of life. I think Tom Herman knows that he's really on the hot seat, and he's got to come through and do something. 4 points. it's a road game. Damn it, I meant to pull out something here and look at what the spread on this was in the past, because I know all these have been really close. I'm going to take Texas to cover that 4-point spread. I don't know if they'll necessarily win. Might lose by field goal. Just like the Oklahoma State won by field goal last week. I think it'll be really close. I'm going to take Texas.
Comrade, what's your pick, sir?
I do want to point out briefly, Tom Herman in the hot seat at Texas, at a school with all kinds of resources, all kinds of talent in state, and he's struggling. So I want to point that out because I know he was probably our first choice, and everyone said Ray Tanner's dumb for not pushing harder to get Tom Herman. Now, listen, I'm not saying that Will Muschamp's great. He has not been great. But I'm just telling you know that the whole idea that at the time we're hiring a coach, I'm not sure there are a lot of great options. And don't bring up Lincoln Riley. He wasn't coming here. Okay, and so all that stuff there too. So, you know, just bring that up real quick about Tom Herman being a failure as well as Will Muschamp. And he'd be a bigger failure here because this job is much tougher than the Texas job. So he'd be worse than Will Muschamp. Okay, bottom line. He would be. Bottom line.
Shit.
Okay, I'm not trying to kiss Muschamp's ass. I admit he has some problems. He's better than Tom Herman, though. He's better than Tom Herman. And with that, Oklahoma State covers the spread. They win by seven.
We win by seven
because
you.
Tom Herman cost you 9 points a game. He cost you 12 points a game. Texas has much more talent, but the coach cost him 12. Will Muschamp cost you 8 points a game. He cost you 12 points a game. Take the Cowboys to cover the spread.
Shout out to SEC Dog checking in. I hope you and I can be friends, SEC Dog. I'm sorry I yelled at you.
They
won't
be friends with Rob. Trust me.
Shut up.
I want to point this out real quick.
Sure.
We talk about you know all of Muschamp's failures. One of the things that he has done that we know his players, they haven't gotten in a lot of trouble. We haven't seen a lot of off the field and that type of stuff. With Tom Herman, I think that there's some just immaturity and lackadaisical controls there at the University of Texas. Now, I'm not sure how much trouble those players have gotten into, but when you look at, like, comrades talking about our players take shit off on the field and act like assholes and this and that. But I think after it's over with, I think Muschamp kind of reels them in and kind of you know, gets their mind right. And that stuff doesn't spill over. I bet you if they had hired him on and he had been our head coach, that shit would spill over onto their off-the-field lives. And we'd have some boys getting in trouble here and there. And, like they do at Georgia, you know, like a dumbass falling asleep at the damn traffic light when he's drunk and
that's right.
Getting arrested, breaking into people's fucking lockers and buying weed from a damn undercover car. What the hell ever they were doing down there? So might be a good thing that he's not here in Columbia. But honestly, I don't think we'd be any better off. We might be two or three
be
wins better off. Probably be another $15 million in the hole.
Okay. Look,
what do we agree on the other day? Will Muschamp brings stability, okay? False you know. Win, he brings stability, right?
He brings stability.
Fuck me. You guys are fucking silly. The comrade looks for anything to, I honestly think the comrade blows Muschamp.
We have builder of young men.
I sincerely believe
granted,
that.
Granted, we don't win football games, but at least we're not.
What's the fucking point of your job? Your point of your job is to win fucking football
games.
I know,
but listen. Tom Herman's not winning football games either, and he's a shit show.
Fuck.
I'm just letting you know. We'd be worse off with Tom Herman.
You gotta have a balance, though.
We'd be worse off with Tom Herman because this is a tougher job. I mean, Texas is a much easier job. I mean, crying out loud. I mean, you know, let me pick out one of the crowd right now. Tony Jackson. Tony Jackson could coach at Texas and not do any worse than Tom Herman.
All right.
Roll the football out.
Can we have
they're
a lot of
crew. They come to you.
Goddamn. We have a lot of games to pick, gentlemen. Can we move on, please? I'm taking Oklahoma State to cover.
Up in the Facebook chat, Sally Bell Donegan says they play like thugs.
She's right.
And this is not the first time that she's made this comment. I'm sure she's talking about my Gamecocks. Ma'am.
No. She's talking about Texas. Let's slow down now. She's talking about Texas.
Talking about my Gamecocks.
She's not. You guys are too shitty to play like thugs, Kale. Stop with that shit.
One of your players punched a Louisville player last year after he got an interception, so I don't hear it.
Okay. Whatever you want to do with there. The Sun's baked your damn head. Now you're about as dumb as the comrade. I'm taking Oklahoma State to cover. I think they win by 10. So there's my pick. I got Oklahoma State giving up the 4. I think that they win, and I think it may be more than that. Ohio State at Penn State. The comrade put this game on here. I don't like Big Ten games. I think Big Ten games are shit shows. Please. I don't like Ohio State. Let me finish, sir. Stop. I let you blow Will Muschamp last segment. I don't like Big Ten games, period. I don't like them at all. I think James Franklin, will you let me, comrade?
Okay, being an ACC fan is like being Helen
Keller. I'm not talking about the ACC, comrade.
Saying, you know what? As Helen Keller, I don't really like Stevie Wonder because he can't see that well.
Are you gonna let me finish my point?
Like, really?
I'll let you do your thing. Here's what I don't like about the Big Ten. James Franklin left Vanderbilt, a private university that's upstanding as far as its academic qualities and everything else. He left there with rape charges on the football team. I mean, how the hell are you going to rape somebody if you're a Vanderbilt football player? What a shit show he is. He goes all the way up to Penn State.
I'm not being like trying to make fun of that, a lot of it, but he raped somebody at Vanderbilt.
Exactly. I'm not making fun of that. I'm just saying.
What do you do? Go drag her out of the library? I mean,
hashtag.
Yeah.
Whack things that don't happen under Muschamp stability. It could be worse.
Try to make unsweet love. I mean, that's fucking crazy.
I know, but that's the whole point. Franklin left Vanderbilt and went to Penn State. They're a shithole. Ohio State fans are the biggest pussies on the planet. Just fuck the Big Ten. Jim Harbaugh can suck a dick too. A whole damn conference. That's serious.
Easy, Helen Keller.
I will say whatever the hell I want.
I listen to you
as you damn have track marks on your nose from Will Muschamp's taint. Right. So I will be happy to sit here and say whatever the hell that I want. Ohio State and Penn State. Ohio State's an 8-point favorite. Jackpot, which way are you rolling?
I got off track. What are we talking? Which game are we talking
Ohio
about?
Ohio State and Penn State. Ohio State's an 8-point favorite. Which way are you rolling, sir?
And this is in our contest or an 8-point
Yeah,
favorite?
It's in our contest. It's one of the 8.
I know that, but that's a different line than what we got right now. With that line, I'll take Ohio State to cover. I like Ohio State to cover the 8.5. It's like 12 right now.
Mm-hmm.
In the regular betting public, and I would take Penn State on that. Penn State's not as bad as they look. Yes, I know they lost Indiana, and they're like, oh, Indiana's fucking shitty crew. They gave Indiana like 2 or 3 of those touchdowns. They outgained them by more than double. So you can look at that. They made some mistakes that can be corrected. And I think Penn State's going to give them a fight. But 8 points, that's not enough. And Justin Fields, I mean, he played about as damn perfect as you can play. against Nebraska, their running game didn't look as dominant as it normally has. And they didn't block as well on the perimeter as they normally do. That defense didn't look championship level like it has in the past, but they still they'll still beat Penn State by more than 8 points, I believe. They're down to their third string running back now. Journey Brown's gone, and then the second string running back's gone. So now they're down to third stringer, and their quarterback is he's average. He's really average as they can be. At home game, this is supposed to be a whiteout big time game for them. Of course, we won't have that, but I'll take Ohio State on that one.
Comrade, which way are you going, man?
It's kind of a weird game. Okay, first off, Penn State loses. As you mentioned before, the spread was at 8, it's at 12 now. Everyone's jumping on Ohio State. The Ohio State game, look at the score of that game, the Nebraska game, they blew them out. I watched that game, and that game was kind of a weird game. That the yardage wasn't that much different. They scored a late touchdown kind of at the end of the game that piled on. Nebraska moved the ball against them a lot. I had Nebraska last week to cover the spread. They didn't, obviously. That's why I was watching that game. I hate to do this because, you know, I'm not sure Penn State's that great, but I think everyone thinks they're horrible now. And usually one of the gambling techniques people use is the recency bias. Go against the recency bias. So whole idea is if you take a team the following week after they look horrible and public perception is at its worst, they usually win for you. It really works in the NFL. Try that, young Sparkies. Take a team, whatever it is, NFL, that looked the absolute worst the week before, the team that looked absolutely horrible, and then take them on the points for the following week, and usually you're going to win about 70% of the time. So I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to regret this probably. And Ohio State wins by 45 points. But I'm going to go ahead. I like the 8 points, too. It's more than a touchdown. I can see them losing by 7, a little late score. And I'm going to go against the grain. I know the contest people. Everyone in the contest will probably take Ohio State. I bet you 85% of the people will take Ohio State this week in this contest, okay? And I'm going to go ahead and be against the grain a little bit and take the fighting pedophiles from Penn State.
Comrade, you didn't tell us what your computer said. I mean, Marcus wants to know on that. I mean, your computer was awesome.
The computer said a couple things here. So the computer has a couple things. It actually has the game 31-26 Ohio State. So I based off that, too. So that's one thing. So I like Penn State to
cover.
Find a way to cover that spread.
All right, well.
Dennis Wilson, not our Dennis Wilson.
The fake Dennis Wilson.
Country ham hats. But the Dennis all caps Wilson, the Miami fan, says Jackpot SC on life support. Just pull the plug on the whole football program. This is from a fan who supports a team who has lost 2 of the last 5 Independence Bowls. One of them to my Gamecocks. One of them to Louisiana Tech in an effort where you were able to muster 0 points. Just shut up.
Miami hasn't been relevant since Uncle Luke was paying people off and running around the world with 2 Live Crew singing, "Hey, we want some pussy." I mean, that's pretty much the last time Miami was relevant. Anyway,
Miami hasn't been relevant since Dwayne Johnson was a sophomore.
Anyway.
Rock says, "This is what Coach Erickson told me to do."
Yeah. All right, well, my pick on this is that I think that Franklin is a fraud. Comrade uses that a lot, but I think James Franklin's a fraud. I don't think he can get his guys up. If they did have the big whiteout thing going, it might be interesting a little bit because they all look like they're waving surrender when they're all waving their white flags. It's just kind of funny. We're going to have a whiteout game. Stop it. Stupid. Justin Fields, too much for them, though. He'll eat them up over the middle. And I think that the Penn State defense is weak there. And I think he'll have a lot of slants that will go for a long yardage and look for Ohio State to win big.
A lot of that has to get rid of no Micah Parsons.
Exactly.
Sucks.
Yep. But anyway, give me Ohio State minus State. Up next, Arkansas and Texas A&M. This game is at Kyle Field. Texas A&M is a 15-point favorite in this matchup. Kale, which way are you rolling, man?
Now, why is this game being played at Kyle Field?
I don't know. This is what I got here, buddy.
Well, normally they play every year at the Dallas Cowboys Stadium.
Comrade, can you help me with that? They're not playing.
It must be a COVID thing. Maybe
it's probably a COVID thing.
Have neutral fields, I guess.
I know Army and Navy are playing at Westlake this year.
Yeah, so it must be a neutral field thing. Maybe that's one of the part of the protocols. I'm not sure how that. Maybe it's just some. Maybe they can't control the neutral field. I don't know. That's a good question.
All right,
anyway, a 15-point line on that game. That's fucking easy money to me. I'll take Arkansas to cover there. This has been a close game. Between these two guys, just the past few years, even with Arkansas being a shitty program, they have kept it relatively close with Texas A&M at 15 points. I just don't see it. Texas A&M had last week, a 28-14 win over a Mississippi State team. Not very good. I think they'll score, but I think that Arkansas is going to be able to move the ball and score on them as well. This is a totally different animal over there at Arkansas, and what we used to see, and they're gonna fight in this one. I don't know if they'll necessarily win it, but if they do, I wouldn't be that surprised. But I'm going to take them to definitely cover that 15 points. That's an easy one, in my opinion.
Comrade, which way are you going?
Once again, A&M with a lot more talent. I like the way Arkansas doesn't beat themselves. That's one thing I wish we would do, and maybe Arkansas will kind of they'll kind of regress somewhat in this game here. But I like the fact they don't beat themselves. They kind of hang in there. A&M's got more talent. I like the 15 points, though. My computer has a 24-16 A&M. 15's a lot of points. I think Arkansas hangs in there. They might even win the game. I wouldn't shock if they won the game. But I don't think they get blown out in this one. So I'm going to take Arkansas plus 15.
Texas A&M, even this year, really, and most, just almost every year, they're a mind fuck. You don't know what the hell you're going to get from these guys. And this year, everything in college football is a mind fuck. So that makes it even fucky and trickier than usual. So there's another one. I would not bet 15 points. That's a live dog right there, friend.
With my thing on this, I'm going to take Arkansas to with the 15 points as well. Arkansas has not allowed anyone to convert more than what's my number say here? Because I looked at this earlier. No one's got to 40% as far as converting on third down. So they're getting people off the field when they can get there. Now,
the Georgia Bulldogs, Rob.
I'm just reading the stats, sir. No team has converted at 40%.
Not even Georgia.
Yeah,
they're elite, though.
They're elite. They definitely are.
God, that's surprising as hell.
Yep, but that's what the numbers say. So I think that's what's going to happen here. I think they'll play a good enough defense where they will stay in it, and that'll be the big thing. Is that they will get off the field. I do think Felipe Franks is an absolute disaster, but he seems to – it's like he screwed his head on correctly. I don't know. Sam Pittman down there –
he's playing a lot better here than he has than he did at Florida.
Yeah, he's playing a lot better, so you're right about that. But
do you mean to tell me that even in the second half, Rob, when the Georgia Bulldogs made that huge comeback from being down at halftime to Arkansas, that they still weren't able to convert on third down? That's shocking.
At 40%, that's the number, sir. That's the numbers.
God, I thought Stetson Bennett was an elite quarterback. That shows how much I know about college football.
Don't say stuff like that. SEC dogs over here wanting to fight already. I hadn't even said anything to him. I told him I wanted to be his friend. He's over here talking about you can't tell someone to go fuck themselves. I tell people to go fuck themselves all the time.
I don't know
what the hell he's talking about.
A lot.
Yeah. I guess you hang out with pansy friends who can't take anything as an absolute joke. Maybe that's what it is.
A while ago, yeah. I said the person who wouldn't sell me tickets out of a lottery machine at the Winn-Dixie down here in Florida.
All right, so there you go. There's my pick with that. I'm taking Arkansas plus 15. Missouri at Florida. This is the Cale Hall special. We did have a different game that was the Cale Hall special, but that game was, and it was a shit show game. At least we got back to a Power 5 conference game here with Florida and welcoming in the Missouri Tigers. Cale, where are you going with yours, man?
Okay, I think the spread on this we're going with is 15 points.
Mm-hmm.
I am hammering Mizzou on that one. I mean, I think that the offense that they've got, I think they're going to adapt. I think that they're have been able to adapt to playing a game where they're going to have to score a lot of points against a team that they know they're going to give up a lot of points to. And then they can also shift that damn thing down in the first gear against a team like Kentucky with a shitty offense and just kind of grind it out like they did Saturday. And it's that's how you win games. I think they're better coached. Florida hasn't played since fucking Labor Day, it seems like, they're freshmen. They've been playing every week. Don't have any COVID issues that I see. They don't have any major injury issues. So this looks like a spot where I would definitely back Mizzou.
Comrade, which way are you going? You going with Mizzou or are you going
I'm one of the ones that has been pleading with you, Rob, that Florida is not the best team in the East. Georgia is. You think Florida's the best team in the East? They're not.
They are.
I don't trust Florida. I think they win this game, but 15 points, a lot of points to give. Maybe they win by 10, maybe they win by 7. In that range, maybe. It wouldn't shock me if Missouri beat them. I will say this, though. I haven't been really following this, like, tracking. I should track it, but I got a booming business and I got kids. Mm-hmm. But just from the NFL and college, I've noticed, and maybe I'm wrong, but I've noticed that the teams that have COVID outbreaks – have to miss a game, have to shut down practice, they tend to do pretty well in their first game back. I need to look that up. But they tend to do pretty well. Usually their second game back is not as good. But the Patriots won on their first game back. The Titans beat the Bills that one night. The Titans had, like, no practice. I think college done pretty well, too, I think. I think Florida may play well. I don't want to use the COVID excuse as why I would take Missouri. I just think Florida's not, even if they were, 100%, practicing all the time, I think Florida's overrated. I think they're a little bit fraudulent. And Missouri does not belong in the SEC, but they do belong in this game with a 15-point spread. I'll take Missouri plus 15.
If you get on board with their Twitter, they'll tweet you out some pictures that teams such as Florida, Alabama, and LSU do not belong in the SEC.
They do.
And also, didn't they just resume their football activities?
Yes.
And practice like fucking yesterday?
Yeah.
That's not much of a damn – that's an awfully short time to prepare for a football game against a team that's really capable of beating you. And I'm sorry.
Here's why I'm taking Mizzou in this game. Mizzou – controls the tempo against whoever they play. They're a team that can stay on the field a good bit. They did have some issues punching the ball in, but as far as controlling the ball, they're very good at that. And they're going against a Florida defense that allows 59% third down conversion rates. 59%. So 6 out of 10 times, basically, if you have a third down, you're converting a first down against this Florida defense right now. I think Florida's not going to be as I think they're going to look at Mizzou and think, eh, it's Mizzou. They're going to have like the Comrades theory about, eh, it's Mizzou. And just the fact that Florida's third down defense is just atrocious. And Larry Roundtree the third, the running back for Mizzou, who is really good. I mean, he is a really good running back out of North Carolina. I don't know how he ended up there. I looked at his who recruited him. Wow. I mean, nobody really recruited him that was really, really on par. He went up to Mizzou, and you can make an argument that he could be second-team All-SEC running back, but I think they go behind him and their new quarterback. Is it Bazalnik? Is that how they pronounce it, Kale? Can't remember.
Bedazzled Dick.
Yeah, Bedazzled Dick. Yeah, there you go. Bedazzled Dick, their quarterback at Mizzou. I think that they're going to be fine. Nick Bolton, by the way, is a great player on that Mizzou defense, so watch that, and Mizzou will cover, and if they win, it'll be even more funny because we'll come in here on Saturday and we'll laugh at the comrade who thinks that Mizzou's silly. So anyway, so give me.
Well, they are. I mean, they control it. I mean, they can. The tempo. They just control everything. They have the pills.
They have the pills.
Drink.
Coastal Carolina's at Georgia State. Coastal Carolina, the second best team in the Palmetto State, ranked 20th in the country. Playing the Fighting Sean Elliotts of Georgia State. I know there's a lot of Gamecock fans that are out there thinking, man, I hope Sean Elliott beats them so they can knock them out of the top 25. I know that's happening with a lot of Gamecock fans. Coastal is a one-point underdog on the road. Kale, are you going with the Shants or Georgia State?
Well, I don't have a dog in this fight. I don't really give a fuck which one of them wins, but I was just looking at the stats, and Georgia State is a team that will put some points on the board, and they can definitely run the ball. Coastal Carolina, if they have a weakness, it's their run defense. So I'm thinking that Georgia State's going to play a ball control type game, run the ball a lot, and home game for them. And I see them pulling them all up here and winning this game. I don't think Coastal Carolina, this is the way I look at a lot of things this time of year and how I get a lot of picks right sometimes in the middle towards the end of the season.
Right.
You look at a team and say, do you think they're going to go undefeated? Or you think they're going to go 6-0? You think they're going to go 7-0? No. I don't think Coastal Carolina's got the Jimmys or the Joes to go undefeated or 7 or 8-0. They're going to fuck up and stumble up somewhere. And I think right here is a prime spot for them to do it. I thought that they might do it last week against Georgia Southern, another team with a running attack. This week, they're going to get pounded again with that running attack 2 weeks in a row. I don't know if that defense can hold up to it. So I'm going to take Georgia State to cover here in the house that Ted built.
There you go.
Turner Field.
Good old Turner Field.
The house that Shipper and Bobby Cox built, by God.
I hear that you can still hear the...
After they tore the damn upper deck off of it and fucked it all up, made it look like shit. It's still the same damn place. It's not a damn parking lot like Atlanta Fulton County Stadium is now. So
I think you can still hear Skip Carey calling games down there if you just listen closely. So, yeah, there's that. Conrad, which way are you going?
That'd be cool.
I'm back and forth in this, too. And I think, the actual computer, the camera computer, has a 31-30 Georgia State, which is a problem because it's a one-point game, which could be a push. Do I want to go ahead and do the push?
Push.
I want to be that bold?
Your damn push.
Going the push and getting that one right. So I'm kind of back and forth a little bit, and I'm going to take, I'm going to take Georgia State. I want to go against the grain because everyone in our contest is taking Coastal Carolina, except for Cale Hall, because, oh, I love Coastal, I'm in state school. And if they keep on winning, they're better than the Gamecocks. So they'll all take Coastal. It's a good little story, cute little story. And I want to make up some ground. I want to go against the grain. I'm going against the grain. 85% of the people in the contest will take Coastal Carolina. And I want to be the 15% that gets right. Take Georgia State for the win.
All right, couple of things here. First of all, Coastal's quarterback, Grayson McCall, could play when they face Georgia State this weekend, according to Jamie Chadwell. Both of you probably didn't even know he was injured. By the way, one other thing.
I knew their backup quarterback, Fred Payton, played last week against Georgia State or Georgia Southern, and he threw three touchdown passes. So, yes, I did know he was
injured. Okay, well, the comrade doesn't even know the difference between Jamie Chadwell and Grayson McCall. But
well,
anyway.
I don't know the difference between Fred Payton and Walter Payton, but I know both.
Here's some more interesting numbers for you. Georgia State, by the way, they ranked 9th in the Sun Belt and 82nd out of 101 teams in total defense. So people run up and down the fucking field all over Georgia State. Coastal has their quarterback back. Give me Coastal to win by a touchdown. The next game is Georgia playing at Kentucky. If I remember correctly, Kirby Smart was acting like a punk bitch, talking about, it sucks that we have to play an early game at Kentucky. I mean, just showing what a complete disaster and failure he is. Ooh, we got to go play Kentucky. My vagina hurts.
He's just trying to be like damn his daddy Nick Saban.
Yeah.
Alabama having to play fucking noon games.
Yeah, well, the difference between Saban and Smart is Saban actually wins shit. That's how that works. Anyway.
He was trolling them.
Of course he was. Georgia plays at Kentucky. Kentucky coming in off a loss at Mizzou. Kale, which way are you going?
This is another one that's easy for me. I mean, Kentucky's coming. They haven't been playing good lately. Their offense is one of the worst in the country. And now their terrible quarterback, who quarterbacked one of the worst teams in the country, he's probably not going to play in this game either. They're probably going to be going with Joey Gatewood, a quarterback who I thought might give him some kind of spark this year, but turns out he sucks too. Georgia, had a week off, coming off a beatdown. I think you're going to be an angry team. I think they're going to be fired up here, and I think they're going to steamroll Kentucky in this game. I'm sorry. It's going to be like 31-7.
Yeah.
28-7, something like that.
Yep.
So, give me the Bulldogs.
Comrade, which way are you going, man?
Yeah, my numbers actually have Kentucky covering this game, but like sometimes you gotta break away with the computer. I just don't see Kentucky scoring much.
Wait a minute, hold on. Now you told us earlier you were not gonna break away from the computer
know,
all season.
I know, but I've gone 3-13 the last 2 weeks.
Comrade liar.
And so I have to kind of, you know, this is the one game where the computer says one thing.
That's fucking trash.
And it just doesn't make sense to me. I just don't see Kentucky. If it was 16, maybe. But 13 is just too easy to win by 14 points. But I'm kind of like what Kale says too. Kentucky's offense. Now listen, maybe Kentucky will force some turnovers. They did against Tennessee, and maybe they'll do that way. But that's the only way they really can score, by forcing turnovers. And maybe they will. But I think Georgia's going to kind of run the ball. I think they're going to kind of run the ball on the Kentucky's ass, and I think they're going to keep it away from going downfield a whole lot and win with just superior talent. And I think they win this game. It'll be a little bit ugly, but I can see like a 27-7 win, something like that, over Kentucky.
As much fun as it would be for me to pick Kentucky here, I want to win the contest. And here's the stat that has kind of turned me a little bit here. I've said from the beginning that I think Georgia has a great defense, probably one of the best defenses in the country. But this Kentucky passing game is comrade awful. I mean, they're as bad as comrade's picks. They are the worst in the conference. They failed to hit 100 yards in two out of their last three games. Now they have to play the fourth best run defense in the country. I don't think it's going to get done there with Kentucky this weekend. I hope that Kentucky can pull off an upset, because then we'll have no Georgia fans listening to this show, because they'll hear me laughing from here all the way to their outhouse down in wherever the hell it is they are in Georgia. But I think Kentucky will lose, and probably lose big here. So give me Georgia. I think they cover the 13. Up next is LSU at Auburn. I'm naming this the Who Is Not a Dumpster Fire Bowl. And what I mean by that is that LSU comes in and they have they've won two games. What are they, 2-2, I think? Had one game canceled because of COVID. Their two wins are over Vanderbilt and South Carolina, which means we don't really know how good of a team LSU is. I mean, let's just be honest. They did play, they look pretty good against South Carolina, but South Carolina's a shithole. They are at Auburn, who has Bo Nix, who's a disaster, and I have to yield to the comrade here. With Chad Morris being a disaster, I think this is one of the strangest games on the schedule as far as trying to pick out which way to go. But, Cale, who do you like in this shit show of a game?
Really, I mean, if you want to what is Auburn's record right now?
What is that? What is their record, or what is it that they shouldn't be?
What is their record?
Auburn is, hold on please, I think they're 3-2.
Lost to South Carolina and Georgia.
Yes.
Okay, well, they're probably a 1-4 football team. I mean, if we want to be honest.
Yep.
You know, they've you know, benefited from some calls, which, I mean, you know, anybody who says that, I mean, you can bitch about it and say, well, you know, they got some rough calls in their favor, so they, you know, but I mean, still, these other teams could have done something in that game to win it. But still, they played bad enough to lose. They could be 1-4 right now. I swear, I mean, I think you could leave this team alone on the damn field for 15 minutes, and I don't know if they could score a damn touchdown. I mean, they're really bad offensively, and I think that this, I think LSU kind of came into their own a little bit last week. I know, you know, what a great performance against Gamecocks. Not the best game plan, not the best showing from the defense, but I think LSU's the better team, and I think that they cover this number. The 3 points against Auburn doesn't look like a lot for them to make up for me, so it's LSU or don't bet on this one.
Yeah, I don't know if I'd bet on this one either, but comrade, which way are you going?
Well, here's the thing. If you tell me, you know, Bo Nix is kind of one of those quarterbacks who also have a huge game. So if you told me Auburn wins this game and Bo Nix was like, you know, Heisman Nix for a day, that wouldn't shock me. LSU's defense is pretty bad. I think they're getting a little bit better. They're getting a little bit more kind of communication, but a lot of guys were wide open for the game, guys. A lot of guys were wide open, and we ran the ball well. So, I mean, it's a weird game. End of the day, though, LSU's got more talent. And so I don't know where to, you know, I have to go with more talent. They got more talent, and they don't have Chad Morris. And so I'll take LSU. It wouldn't shock me if Auburn came up with their best game of the year and beat them. But I'd say gun to my head, I'm going to go with LSU to win this game. But one of those crazy games too. This is another classic game where I like to bet the game after the first two drives of both teams.
First drive.
Just kind of see, like, you know, to get a vibe. I think you'll be able to tell right away. So I'm going to watch this game. I'm looking forward to watching this game to kind of see just what the hell. To kind of, if 1-2, it kind of tells about the Gamecocks too. You're trying to figure out what the Gamecocks are. I mean, I just want to watch that game for that reason. Like, what, you know, for that reason alone. If LSU blows them out, I might feel a little bit better in a way. Yeah. I don't know. That's a good question, Cale. We have to ask on Sunday. The outcome of this game does make you feel better about the Gamecocks based on what happens. We'll see how it plays out. But I'll take LSU.
Yeah. And if you're talking about bad defenses, I mean, Auburn's defensive coordinator, honestly, he's still getting points scored upon him by the the virtual 2011 West Virginia Mountaineers.
Right. What was that? Yeah, I'm not even going to attempt to even argue with you there, Kale. Completely different situation, but I like LSU to cover because I think that Bo Nix takes too many risks, and I think that that Auburn defense is just going to give up a lot. And I also think that Jonathan makes a good point here. It wouldn't be such a hard pick if they had Brennan back. I think Brennan's one of the better quarterbacks in the SEC, to be honest. But I think
to be fair, his backup didn't look terrible.
Yeah, but it's South Carolina. I mean, they're a shithole. So,
I'm
just being honest. Do you think they're not a shithole? Come on. But no, I think that Auburn's got a piss poor defense as well. So I'll take LSU to cover the 8 or cover the 2. Why am I thinking 8 here?
2.
Yeah. So LSU's getting 2, right? Yeah.
LSU's they're favored by 2 now. They opened up with Auburn favored by 2, but yeah, the spread now is like 2.5. I think
that's 3.
Way.
It's 3 is Once what I'm again, looking at here.
It's a weird ass game. So
very weird. Tells you. All right. Well, yeah. Final matchup: Boston College at Clemson. Kale, you pick right quick while I run over here for a second.
Boston College has kind of grown up this year and has a little bit of a big boy passing game. Now, they got a couple of receivers that give them some trouble. Now, Clemson hasn't had any trouble with them the past couple of years. There's that. Also, their head coach, Jeff Hafley, is a former Ohio State defensive coordinator who came up with a pretty good scheme last year to stop the Taters in the Fiesta Bowl. Not his fault that a fumble wasn't called a fumble. It's called an incompletion. But we're not going to go there. I think this is a new Boston College team. They kind of got a bit of a little blowout situation with Virginia Tech a couple weeks ago. Came back last week, put a whipping on the Nerds from Atlanta. Kind of like Clemson did too. Didn't destroy him as bad as Clemson did. It's like a 21-point game. But hey, if Syracuse can put 21 points on Clemson, which, let's be real, they honestly only put 14 on you because one of them was on your quarterback who threw a horrible pick six. The Syracuse offense can score 14 points on Clemson, then surely Boston College's offense can score 21. And I don't know if I see Clemson scoring 52 points. I mean, I think that they're going to pull out the starters early if they get up by a lot, but you've got another game coming next week. That's where you're going. It's a road game. That's, you know, kind of going to be for, all the marbles in the ACC. That's going to be the big one. So, I think Clemson will pull the starters early, put the backups in there, and you may see a few mistakes and a few missed opportunities. So I'm going to take Boston College to cover that big 31-point spread in this game. I think Clemson's going to try to flex their muscle early. And I think they will. If I was playing Clemson in the first half, I would definitely fade BC on that one and go Clemson. But we're playing a whole game here. And I think that will leave the back door open for BC to maybe come in and lose that game by 27, 28 points, something like that. So give me Boston College, Phil Jerkovic, Jeff Hafley, and the Screaming Eagles.
Comrade, which way are you going, man?
I have no clue. I mean, my numbers kind of go both ways here. Part of me thinks that Clemson may come out and really try to blow them out because of just the fact that last week, you know, kind of was like that whole saying, it felt like a loss to them, you know. So the whole, you know, Dabble getting pissed at the reporter for, you know. And so part of me thinks they're going to come out there and try to hammer him. And the fact that Trevor Lawrence didn't like to have enough energy. And so that part thinks maybe Clemson blow him out. But I Boston College isn't that bad, though. I mean, trust me, they're not like, a world beater. But in terms of the ACC, they're actually pretty good. I'm not saying a whole lot, but they're not Syracuse. Now, I know Syracuse kind of has Clemson's number over the years, but they have more talent than Syracuse. They have more talent probably than anybody but Miami that Clemson's played this year, I'd say. I'm trying to think real quick if I'm missing anybody.
That's about right.
But, so I think that, and the fact you're missing, what's his face, your linebacker there, because it's a groin issue, Skalski. I think Boston College puts enough points up. 32 is kind of a weird number, too. I can see Clemson winning this game by 31, and kind of getting that cover that way. So I'll probably regret this when Clemson scores 45 points in the first half. But I'm going to take Boston College to cover.
So the pick got easier for me today. I had LeVon Kirkland on my show. Of course, he's in the Clemson Ring of Honor, played on the NFL 90s all-decade team. Solid guy, and he knows football. He's coached as an assistant in the NFL at three different spots, coached in high school, coached college ball. And he told me today on my show that Boston College has enough talent that if Clemson takes them lightly, that he thinks that they could lose. He doesn't think that they will, but he thinks that Boston College...
Oh, God damn, man. That would be like Christmas in October.
Well, but he's also the same guy that called last year and told me and Trey Gunnels, who was sitting in with me that day in studio, one of the guys that writes for my my blog at Fox Sports Radio 1400, that the Gamecocks would beat Georgia. And he told us why. He's one of those people that he just looks at football and understands it. He's one of the guys that said that. So, and I laughed at him last year, but I'm not going to laugh at him this year. Holy shit, Kale. I'm not saying Clemson loses, but Clemson's missing some starters.
Can LeVon to possibly say that Kale's going to find $1 million under a rock?
He knows his football. He said he'd come on the podcast with us. I might set that up, guys. You want to talk to a former NFL All-Pro linebacker? We might do that. Anyway, he says that it's going to be a closer game. Boston College, by the way, they can run up and down the field a good bit. They can also throw the ball. I know you guys probably talked about Jerkovich, their quarterback, the transfer in from Notre Dame. 6'5", 240 pounds. You can't hit him. He bounces off things. They compare him to Ben Roethlisberger, is what I've been told.
That's fucking solid, man.
Yeah, he's solid as hell. I don't think that Clemson loses, but I think it's going to be like 20 points, something like that. Clemson will pull away late. Boston College doesn't have the athletes to stay and hang for too long. But the
is
fact
Travis
that Clemson
is going to be okay for this game.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing, too. I think that Sweeney's going to pull a lot of the starters to hold him out for the Notre Dame game next week, and I really believe that. I think if he gets up by 17, he's going to go into cruise control. So get through this game,
We could see some of that loosey-goosey action or whatever. Lynn Jay, the guy that ran Tavia Feaster out of town because he's so talented.
Yep, Kobe Pace, another running back that'll get some carries. Darian Rencher, they'll all have some time there. But Boston College plus 32 is the safe pick. So that's where I'm going with mine. Gentlemen, recap yours. Comrade, what'd you go with, man? Do you remember? Comrade? Hello to the comrade.
Let me look at my phone. Oh. I've got... Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, go ahead.
I've got BC. I've got covering the spread. I've got Missouri covering the spread. I've got Georgia. I've got the state, Arkansas.
Right. Comrade, you're dropping out on us. Kale, you remember who you got? Did you take?
I've got Rendell. I got Texas, Ohio State, Arkansas, the Mizzou Tigers, Georgia State, Georgia, LSU, and Boston College.
I went with OK State, Ohio State, Arkansas, Mizzou, Coastal, Georgia, LSU, and Boston College. So there's my picks. All right, guys. It's kind of a looking forward to the week. Really jacked up for next week with the game with Notre Dame and Clemson. That's going to be the ACC game of the year, in my opinion. So, all right. Well, gentlemen, do you have anything else for this week's show?
I don't.
That's it. I'm kind of glad we don't get the Gamecocks this week. I hate to say it, but this is a little less stress, less me being annoyed. I can just enjoy college football and not have to worry about being annoyed this week.
You probably won't even watch games this week. I bet you'll watch 10 minutes.
I'll watch
of a
games.
Game.
I'll watch games. I'll watch the night games.
Yeah,
for sure.
So I was supposed to go to Notre Dame next week, but they're not letting anyone in the stands. So the only people that can go to the games are the fans of Notre Dame. It's insane.
Fucking crazy.
Yeah.
Rob Sanders is gonna come give everybody the COVID.
I might. I've already had the COVID, so I might. No, I don't think it's cool that the way that Notre Dame handled it. I think they should have sold, you know, and done the 25,000 with, you know, and if you want to get a ticket, you can. But apparently,
why is it that the Big Ten has this rule out where you can't fucking play for 3 weeks after you test positive or whatever, but everybody else is two. So this Mertz kid, who lit up fucking Illinois on Friday night and took the world by storm. He ain't going to be able to play when Wisconsin battles it out with Michigan.
Well,
it fucking sucks.
Here's the thing,
I've canceled their game this week anyway.
But. Well, here's the thing. The big reason that. The big thing with me on that front is that we don't have a united front as far as across the board in college football. No one is an actual leader. Every conference gets to do whatever the fuck they want to do. So with that, you're going to have no one to really make a decision, and everything just ends up being silly across the board. The Big Ten, they came out with their stuff, and they have the strictest protocols ever. I wish that it was level across the board, but the way that they have it set up, it's going to be hard for teams like Ohio State or even, let's say, Michigan can get hot or whatever. Even if they finish 8-0, it's going to be hard to put one of those teams into the college football playoff, in my opinion. So that's just the way that it is.
Could you justify them putting them in the college football playoff?
No.
Here's what will become tricky.
Right.
If one of them misses three because of coronavirus, three kind of insignificant games, and they go 7-0.
Right.
And then Cincinnati goes 10-0.
Right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. But who do you put in there? Because, they play three more games, and they beat some ranked teams, and they kick their ass. But this other team's in the Big Ten. That is really going to make for a sticky situation.
Well,
if something like that happens. If.
But I have it in my head that a lot of the people that are in the AP went to Northwestern, and they remember back in the days when Ohio State and Michigan beat them senseless. So they end up ranking them in the polls. If you don't believe that the polls are completely biased and full of shit, what was it? They ended up putting teams into the poll that haven't played a damn game. So they're not even evaluating what they've done on the field. It's just, we think Ohio State is great. We think Oregon's great. They hadn't played a fucking game, but we think that they're great. So we're going to put them in the polls. The polls are an absolute shit show. I look at them and I'm like, these people that vote in these things are absolutely stupid. Just stupid. It doesn't make any sense. You're right about a team like Cincinnati. You're also right about a team like BYU. If they go undefeated, they in my opinion, have played more games, and they have a bigger gripe about why they could be left out of the college football playoff than freaking any of the teams from the Big Ten, but I think that the Big Ten just point blank decided in August, hey, we don't want to play. Then they seen everybody else was doing it, and they're like, wow, we can make this happen. And then it ends up hitting them in the face. So that's what I think happened there. They're all a bunch of idiots, and they reap what they sow. So there you go with that. I think Comrade's internet dropped out on him. It's hard getting stuff done over in the Kremlin. But
Comrade's dead.
Comrade's dead. Shoot him. Shoot him. I mean, that's
shoot
just...
him.
Yeah, shoot that idiot. I mean, what did we get from the Comrade anyway?
Fuck him. I don't ever want to see the motherfucker
easy
again.
Virtual Kale. We look forward to talking to you guys later on, man. Kale, have a safe trip back. And with that... Oh, hold on. SEC Dog. One thing, I've already went over this with him. You're losing that game with Clemson the first week of the season. You'll claim that it's all bullshit and it's an absolute fluke. Clemson's going to mop the floor with Georgia because of several different issues, including Clemson has a better – Clemson will at that point have a better offense. Clemson will have a better coach. And Kirby Smart is a walking vagina. Fuck you. Fuck your team. The entire team. It's just the way that it is. You're going to get your face kicked in Charlotte. Hopefully you'll show please, your sorry ass up here
lose,
then.
Don't, please don't lose to a small guitar, Georgia. Jesus Christ.
What a bunch of fucking idiots.